But go and grab your Bibles if you would, please. Hold those up in the air. Repeat this after me. This is my Bible, and I believe what it says. I can have what it says I can have, and I can do what it says I can do. I choose to open up my heart and my mind to God's Word today. Amen. All right, let's go ahead and get ready for the Scripture. I'm going to open it in a second, but we're going to tell you a little bit about the series today. I want to explain a little bit about Vintage before we open your Bible, so you can set them aside just for a second, and we'll get back into them. For those of you that are new, maybe you're visiting today, we've been in a series entitled Vintage. Now, the idea of vintage, you might be familiar with because people all over the place nowadays are finding, you know, different furnitures and cars, and they're kind of cleaning them up, repurposing them, putting them back into the front room of their house. And, you know, the idea of vintage isn't something that's just old, but it's something that has a value that's lasting. It's something that, because of the quality of it, because of the way it was made, there's something about it that it's timeless. And it's always, there's something of preciousness about it all the time. And, you know, here we are in what's called the household of God. This is the household of God. And the Lord began to talk to me about this whole concept of vintage, where, you know, today people take a piece of furniture out of the basement and they find it in grandpa's, you know, like, warehouse or barn in the garage or whatever, pull something out and they clean it up and they look at it again and are like, wow, this is so beautiful. And the same thing's true in the household of God. The Lord was beginning to deal with me a few months back, saying there are some things in the household of God that are beautiful, they're timeless, they're precious. And for some of us, we need to pull them up out of the basements of our lives or out of the attic of our lives, dust them off, and look at the value of those things once again, because they really are beautiful throughout every generation, every season. And so a few weeks ago, we talked about evangelism. Evangelism is one of those things that there's just a beauty about it. That's the way the kingdom of God works, people telling other people about what God's done for them. And it's beautiful. It's beautiful that people lay themselves aside, put themselves out there to possibly be turned away or down or, you know, embarrassed. And they put themselves out there and say, I need to tell you what Jesus has done for me. And all of us are here today because somebody did that for us. There's a beauty in people telling people about Jesus. And then last week we talked about prayer. That's another vintage idea. We are a house of prayer, Jesus said. We are in communication with God. There's a beauty in talking to God. And it's not prayer like just tradition or ceremony or ritual, because that's not prayer in the kingdom of God. Prayer is a two-way communication. Prayer is we are hearing from God, God's hearing from us, and things are happening. And there's a beauty in prayer that, you know, God could have just said, hey, I'm God, you're not, I don't want to talk to you. And yet we have this God that completely wants to be involved in our life. And that is a beautiful privilege that we have. Amen? And today, in continuing the same idea of vintage, we're going to talk about the idea of servanthood. Servanthood. There's something beautiful and lasting and enduring about servanthood. You know, Christianity truly is a move of servants in the earth. It is a family of servants. This household of God is here, and it is sustainable, and it continues to grow because it's built on the idea of serving. We're not here to dominate. We're not here to control. That's where the church of, you know, some of the older, you know, years and years ago, when we got out of alignment as church, we thought we were here to control things. We're not about control. We're about serving. And we're about changing this world by serving people's lives where they need it the most. Are you understanding? I'm going to talk to you today about the beauty of servanthood in the local church and in the community. You know, even our heroes, I think back, you know, we get this even in the natural sense. Most of our heroes in life, people that do stuff, you know, around us, the people that we really admire, if you think about it, most of them are some of the largest servants that we've ever known. You know, I think of some of the heroes that we have in this country, and we even call them in the service, like military. They are in the service. But think about what they do. They are our heroes, and they are serving us because they're laying their life down so that we can be free and so that we can enjoy our families. They sacrifice time with their families so that we can enjoy our families. I mean, and that's called being in the service, right? And they're out there at risk, in harm's way, all over the world, taking time they could have spent doing something else, and they're serving us. And there's such a beauty and something to be admired and valued and appreciated. Would you give all those that have been in the military in that service, would you give them a hand right now? There is something beautiful about it, and we sometimes don't really get it. In what they're doing, they're serving us, and in serving, they're changing our lives. You know, some of the other individuals are those that we call public servants, right? Our firefighters, our police, our paramedic that keep us safe and, you know, help us with our homes, or if we get in an accident, they get us to the hospital. Again, they're serving us so that you can live long and live strong and feel secure and move on with your life. This idea of servanthood, really the people in our lives that are our heroes and that we value and that make the biggest difference, they really truly are these people that have learned how to somehow serve and contribute to the lives of somebody else. It's amazing. You think about doctors and nurses, and I love and appreciate the fact that they're serving us, trying to keep us healthy and alive so that you can enjoy your children, enjoy your grandchildren, and have a long life and be healthy with it. You know, I think about teachers, school teachers that serve us, college professors, and they teach our children on how to read, how to write. They taught us how to read, how to write, how to get on in life. I mean, they have spent their lives to make our lives better. You know, I hope whatever you find yourself to do, whatever your business is or whatever with your life might be out there, that you would truly somehow find a way to serve humanity, to serve people, because that's really, those are the people that really end up making the biggest difference in the world. No matter what your occupation, if you can link it somehow into helping other people succeed, other people win, then you're going to have eternal impact. There's a value, there's a worth in that that's just timeless. It's called servanthood. Servanthood is beautiful. It's powerful. It's how the world is changed and transformed. Amen? And now I want to talk a little bit about bringing that into the body of Christ, because we can talk for hours about doctors that go overseas and help in places and put themselves in harm's way to serve different people groups that are dealing with infectious diseases. You can talk about people that are doing soup kitchens and orphanages around the world and all this stuff. But servanthood, yes, that all needs to take place. But today I also want to talk about servanthood in the local church, because it's one of the things that makes the local church lasting and successful and keeps it going on from generation to generation. It's that there's a brotherly love, there's a communing in the house, there's a laying down of your life for one another to help each other win. Because servanthood isn't just meeting a need, it's linking it to saying, I'm doing this so that your life may improve, so that you may win and you can overcome, and that I'm going to be here to help you succeed and break through whatever's in your life. And that spirit is in the house of God, which in this house, in Life Church, I am honored to say that we are a house filled with servant-hearted people. I mean, you can go to any place in this house, in this church, or in Rockford, or Geneseo, or anywhere, any one of these campuses, and you will find someone who really, truly, with all their heart, wants to not just meet a need, but help you succeed in life. They really do want to serve and help you win. Servanthood is beautiful, and it's what carries on the body of Christ throughout the world. In a world and in a country where church sometimes is more entertainment looking, we are not here to entertain the world. We are here to serve this world. In the name of Jesus, serve this world. And sometimes serving the world doesn't mean giving the world what they want. It means bringing them the truth. And it means being there to not just speak truth, but offer a helping hand. And the same thing would be true in the church. So today I'm going to talk a bit about what's going on in the local church and really brag on and build faith in this area of servanthood. All right, let me get into the scripture real quick, and that's Mark chapter 10, verse 42. I'm going to have it on the screen, but you can get excited about it. Mark chapter 10, there you go, verse 42 through 45, Jesus speaking about servanthood. So Jesus called them together, and he said, "You know that the rulers in this world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those who are under them. But among you, it's going to be different." Now, I want to pause there for a second, because there's a beautiful idea in this verse, and that is this. God is telling us that you, the church, you have authority in this realm. You are the leaders of this world, but you're going to be a different kind of leader. You're going to be people that have influence. You have a voice. You are empowered with the power of the Holy Spirit. But he does not give us power to look, walk around and say, look how powerful I am. And he's going to give you talents, and he's going to give you abilities. You are going to be the salt of the earth. You're going to be a city on a hill. You're going to be the light and all these things. But he doesn't do all those things so that people just look at you and say how great you are. He's saying, among you, I'm going to make you leaders. But you're going to be different kind of leaders in this world, realizes, because in the worldly way of doing things, once people get into positions of leadership, they just want people to follow them. They want people to just honor them and respect them. But I'm going to teach you how to be a leader that's taking care of people, that's bringing people up and out of their situation. I'm going to make you a leader like me. like Jesus, you see? And he is the most powerful leader there ever was. But at the same time, he has spent himself to make your life better and to make you win. And that's what we do. We're here. You know, we just sang a song recently, just today, that said there's an army rising up. Amen? But the reason that army is of any value is because they're not rising up to say, look how powerful we are. They're rising up to saying, we're here to offer a hand. We're here to help you. We're here. And that's why even days like today with the baskets and all, the church is about serving people. The church matters and is meaningful, not because it's powerful. It is powerful, but that power only matters when we offer it to help people who are weak or people who are hurting. Does that make sense? And so Jesus in here is telling us, you're powerful, but you're going to be a different kind of powerful. You're going to take that power, and you're not going to lord it over people. You're not going to just point and say, look how big we are, but we're going to show you that we're here to help you and serve you. He says, but it's going to be different among you. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. Whoever wants to be first among you must be the slave of everybody else. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others, and give his life as a ransom for many. Our Lord and Savior, our God, is the lead servant. That's a powerful thought. You know, in most of Greek theology and most of world religions, you don't hear of a God that's a servant. But our God is. And he points the picture for us to be like, look, yes, I'm powerful. Yes, I'm great. But that only matters to you because I'm involved in your life. And I thank God that he's there. How does God serve us? How does Jesus serve us? We had a sin problem. And he served us, not just meeting the need. See, again, servanthood is not just meeting the need. He didn't just forgive us of sin. He then gives us power to get over and out of that sin, to get on with our life, you see? And so I want you to understand, sometimes people have shrunk servanthood down to just seeing a need, meeting a need. And that's, I'm trying to help you connect the dots here. That everything you do, when you do it under the Lord and you do it to help somebody else, may we do it to help them succeed and to win, not just meet a need. Yes, in meeting this need, I'm furthering something in your life. But it's not just about being a bunch of need meters, but seeing the value and the eternal in what it is when we serve people. Serving people is so important and so precious and valuable. It's not just meeting the need, but it's furthering people's lives and giving them the future that God has for them. I'm so glad when I was a kid, I've been raised in a culture where servanthood was valued. And that's why I'm trying to make sure we always, throughout the years of Life Church, and we have, but I always want to continue to keep us on course, make sure we have a culture where servanthood is valued, where it's something that is looked at as the highest calling and honor is to help somebody else. You know, I was even thinking today during worship while we were just singing, just in this service, I didn't even say any other services. It's so cool. You know, the Holy Spirit, one of the names of the Holy Spirit is the Helper. Think about that. I mean, our whole faith is built on servanthood and helping, and what can I do to help somebody's life get better and to win? That's what makes it exciting. That's what makes it different than all other world religions. That's what makes it matter. It's not just our theology that makes people matter. It's not even just how powerful we are in Christ that matters. I thank God we have a dominion teaching, an authority teaching, a powerful teaching that we are filled with the Holy Spirit. But if we're not helping, if we're not serving, it's all going to waste. Amen. Amen. But I was raised in a culture, and this is a culture in Life Church of servants, where we're here to help, and we're here to help you win. And we're here to help other people win. But when I was a kid, my earliest experience in church was in Southern California. You say, how'd you end up in Rockford? Just Jesus. And I will talk to him about it one day. But I was in Southern California. I was in a little Assembly of God church called Lighthouse Assembly of God. And I had a pastor there named Pastor Harold Peck. Pastor Harold Peck was a fiery preacher. He had his hair slicked back. He had a powder blue suit that he wore all the time and white leather shoes. And he was from the days of Jimmy Swagger. And I think he thought he was Jimmy Swagger. And for those of you who don't know who Jimmy Swagger is, that's probably all right. But if you know who he is, then you know what I'm talking about. And that's all right too. But my pastor, he was excited and he'd get fiery and he'd start jumping over the pews while he preached. I mean, it was something to see. I mean, if this man was excited, he'd jump over one pew. And there was a little older lady in the front. And I thought she might... we might have lost her, you know, in the front row, because she's just sitting there like nothing's going on. And then he would jump and she would just explode with a hallelujah chorus. So we knew she was still alive, right? She'd be like, hallelujah. And then she would go back again until he jumped again. And then, woo! And then he jumped again and again and again. But that was just the way I was raised. I don't do that here. It's all right. But what I'm saying is I was raised in this environment. I was saved there. I was filled with the Holy Spirit there. And it was in that environment I had my first opportunity to serve as a kid. I was probably 10 years old. And at 10 years old, there was an opportunity. My mom became the choir director of the church. And whenever your mom's the choir director, you get drafted into everything else. Just the way the world works. And the church needed someone to run children's ministry. And nobody in the church wanted to run the children's ministry. So at 10 years old, my sister, I was 10, she was about 12, we were privileged to run the children's ministry of that local church. So I've been in the ministry since I was 10 years old. And we would do puppet shows. I do this because I don't know why you couldn't figure out a puppet show. Maybe this will help you as an illustration. We would do puppet shows, and we would give out candy, and we would run games, and we were just there to serve. And it was just such a privilege. You know, you think kids can serve, everybody. Kids are anointed. Kids can get involved in the process and have a worth and a value of what they're doing. And I was so grateful for that opportunity, even at an early age, to be put into a place of helping other people get better and grow. And then my family moved here to Illinois, and we started going to Rockford First Assembly in Rockford, and that was my church for the most of my journey in life. And my pastor, his name was Pastor Sam Mayo. He was the one that really was in my life the majority of my growing up years, and he modeled for me as well. Servant leadership. If you knew Pastor Sam Mayo, he was not a dynamic type personality. He was a shepherd leader. He was a servant leader. I mean, there was oftentimes I would come into the sanctuary and he'd be praying and he'd have the church directory. And the church back in the 90s was about 2,000 people, which was a really big church for that time period. And he'd be praying over the church directory for hours. He'd pray over every name and every face and every heart because he was praying on behalf of the people. He was serving them. I mean, I could still see him today crying out for the people in that directory. And he would go on 40-day fasts for us, for the people. I mean, it's just, I get moved today. Like, he wasn't even a big man. He would just shrink down to nothing in the middle of that 40-day fast. We're like, Pastor Mayo, where'd you go? And he was just like that. Because you just lose so much weight. But he was praying for us. And it was just another way. Everything is serving. I mean, if you don't see it, even what people do on this platform is serving you. The worship team is serving you, trying to help you overcome and come out of your crisis, out of your depression. Everything in the house of God is servanthood. He was interceding. We have intercessors here that are praying for you hours before you come. They're praying for you that you would have a great day, that you would get your breakthrough, that you would get your answers. The worship team comes prayed up, ready to sing. Ushers are in place. Nursery workers are in place. Cameramen are in place. Technology people are in place. We've been praying and studying all week that we might help you get the word in due season to help you win and overcome, not just to have a service, but to serve you so that you would be the champion that God's called you to be. The kingdom of God is all servanthood. Everything is servanthood, and it's all connected. Not one position is greater than another position. They're all tied together. It's all God's people serving. And I remember him serving us in prayer and intercession and being a servant leader, that he never wanted to be arrogant. He never wanted to be proud in his success. And I remember stories from the cleaning ladies, and they were like, Pastor Mayo just walked into, we were cleaning the bathroom or something, and we walked in, and Pastor Mayo was in a suit and tie, and he was washing the toilets in his suit and tie, and we said, Pastor Mayo, what are you doing? And he said, I'm just remembering who I am. That we would always remember that no matter how successful we get in life, or no matter what platform God puts us on, the greatest honor is the honor of being a servant to people. Amen. Because if you think it's about people watching you, you're not being their servant anymore. You're now an entertainer. You see, but when you remember you're a servant, then all of a sudden you remember why you do what you do. And that's what I want in the DNA of who we are. Today's a simple day about servanthood, the value of being a servant. I remember when I was in my intern program learning how to be a pastor and being trained in that stuff, there was a guy that was an intern a little bit ahead of me. His name was Brian Dunn. And we were in a youth group, a very large youth group back then of about 1,000 teenagers. And Jeannie Mayo was the leader of that youth group, and we worked for her. And she said something in a meeting one time, and Brian picked it up, which is what real servants do. They pick up things that nobody's asking. They just hear it, and they're like, I want to take care of that, right? And she just said the cleaning ladies are getting a little troubled with all these teenagers because they leave the sanctuary such a mess after youth group. And they did. You may have one teenager. Imagine what they do to your house. Imagine 1,000 teenagers and what they do to the house of God. And it was a mess. And the cleaning ladies would just kind of get cantankerous a little bit about these teenagers and what they were doing. And Brian heard that and heard it was grieving Jeannie that there was this conflict. And so he took up a personal burden to go after youth group every Wednesday night, and he would clean the entire sanctuary without ever being asked. And I remember seeing that thinking, that's awesome. That's the kind of servant, that's the kind of person, God, I want to be like that. He was never applauded, he was never even barely thanked half the time, but he wanted to take that pressure off of Jeannie, and he wanted to serve the cleaning ladies and bless them, and so he would do it. And so I remember when he graduated on Beyond, I was like, God, let me be that guy. And so he passed the garbage can ministry down to me, and I was so grateful that for 3 years, I got to pick up garbage for those 1,000 teenagers. And you know, I never would have thought back then when I was 17, 18 years old, I was 18, 19 years old, that picking up garbage like that would be one of my most favorite memories in ministry. Because I can remember times of prayer doing it. I can remember just being a part of something that nobody else noticed. Sometimes when you're on the stage all the time, it's so meaningful when you get to do something that nobody else sees. Because it helps you remember why you do it. And so I never would have known back then, picking up garbage, God would be able to trust me with something like this today. But the Bible says, those who are faithful with little, God will make you ruler over much. And many of our heroes in the Bible that we all love, they all started in some place, some obscure place of leadership, of servanthood, serving a leader somewhere. Joshua served Moses. He was there to be Moses' right-hand man. And one day Moses, who was leading God's people, died and was passed on. And God said, Joshua, all of Israel is now in your hands. And Joshua got to lead God's people into the promised land. But Joshua found his legs of leadership at serving at the feet of Moses. You know, someone else that we always love in the Bible is a guy by the name of Samuel. Samuel was just a little kid, like I was. He was just a little kid. And he began to serve a guy named Eli, who was the high priest of the time. And Eli was a horrible man. He was a horrible father. He couldn't control his kids, and he was letting sin run rampant in the temple or the tabernacle. But Samuel served Eli faithfully. And sometimes we serve people that aren't worth serving, but we do it because it's what God called us to do. Does that make sense? God assigns us to serve there, and that leader may not even be worth serving, but God put us there because God has a reason and God has a plan, and God's also forming us and trusting us. And Samuel, as a little boy, he grew up being a servant to Eli, and God made him the greatest prophet Israel had known in like hundreds of years. He brought prophetic back on the scene of Israel, which is awesome. God used the little obedient boy who was serving a guy that wasn't worth serving. Another person that was pretty interesting in the Bible is a guy by the name of Elisha. Elisha was the servant of Elijah, okay? Elijah was a powerful prophet, but the Bible shows us that Elisha did twice the miracles Elijah ever did. Elisha had a lasting prophetic ministry and trained hundreds of prophetic leaders and started schools and things like that and carried them on. Elisha had a massive impact, but you want to know how Elisha was identified? I love this little obscure verse in the Bible. It's found in 2 Kings. Let me read it to you real quick, and then we're going to go to a different passage. 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 11. Speaking of Elisha, but Jehoshaphat, who was a king, said, is there no prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of the Lord by him? So one of the servants of the king of Israel answered and said, Elisha, the son of Shaphat, is here, who poured water on the hands of Elijah. Who poured water on the hands of Elijah. That was his identity. Like, that was his big entrance into ministry, right? As a servant. Elijah came, put his cloak on Elisha, and said, you're going to be a prophet of Israel. And his big task was, pour water on my hands. He was Elijah's water boy. I mean, imagine how, like, meaningless it might have thought to be like, Elisha, my hands are dirty. Thank you. And that was Elisha's entrance into ministry. But there was something about that that taught him or perfected him or prepared him. But you know what's true is no matter how you change in life, no matter how God increases your sphere of influence, it's always still the person that started with the bucket of water. It's still servanthood. Elisha may not be pouring water on Elijah's hands. He might be teaching future prophets, but he's still serving them. Do you see the difference? You're still that little kid that's a servant. Even though your platform grows or your influence grows, the heart of that person is the same. It wasn't about what's in it for me. It's about what can I do for you. Are you understanding this? So though you might start small and you might end up in a large arena somewhere or doing some big type outreach or solution to something grand, the heart's the same. You're still the water boy. You're still the kid that wanted to do something to help in any way you could possibly do it. And you saw the vision and the value. See, Elisha saw the vision and the value. It wasn't about washing Elijah's hands. It was about helping the kingdom move forward. It was about servicing that minister and his ministry so that because he knew that minister and his ministry was affecting these lives. And Elisha saw the connection between it. And that's what I want us all to see as we serve in this house. We are all connected and dependent upon each other. Not one ministry is more valuable than another. And you have no idea where God's going to take you as you do what it is that you do to help people win and succeed. Amen? Open up your Bibles, if you would please, to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. It's a passage of Scripture. John chapter 13. John chapter 13. Passage of Scripture that's familiar to some, but for some of you it's new. It's Jesus, again, modeling something for us that I'd like you to see. John chapter 13, verse 1. Now before the feast of Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, that he would depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who are in the world, he loved them to the end, during the supper, this was the Last Supper, the devil had already entered into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given him all things into his hands and that he had come forth from God and was going back to God, underline that in your Bibles, by the way, I'm going to come back to that, got up from supper, laid aside his garment, taking a towel, he put it around himself. He poured water into the basin, like a bowl, and began to wash the disciples' feet and wipe them with a towel, of which he was girded. So when he came to Simon Peter, he said, Lord, Simon said to him, are you going to wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said, what I do right now, you're not going to realize it, but you will understand it later. Peter said to him, never shall you wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I don't wash you, you have no part of me. So Simon Peter said, Lord, wash not only my feet, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus said to him, he who has bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. You are clean, but not all of you. For he knew that one was betraying him. For this reason, he said, not all of you are clean. It's interesting thing to note here that Jesus still served someone he knew was about to betray him. We can serve people that we know don't like us. We can serve people that we know are out to get us. But here Jesus showed us we still serve. So when he had washed their feet and taken his garment and reclined at the table again, he began to teach them. Before I get into what he taught them, let me explain something here in the beginning. Jesus said in verse 3, I want you to go back there. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given him all things into his hand, that he come forth from God, was going back to God, got up and he basically served. It's very important when I talk to you about servanthood that you have a secure identity in who you are. That you don't see servanthood as something like I'm doing something for someone else so that they like me, or so that they validate me, or so that they will say that I'm important. See, the Bible says here that Jesus was fully aware of who he was. He had come from God. God had given him all rule, power, and authority, and he was going back to God and being seated at his right hand. And so when Jesus took the posture of a servant in what we just read, he didn't take it in an insecurity. Sometimes people serve, even in church or even in the community, and they serve. They're like, can I carry your Bible? Can I get you water? Can I help in the kids' ministry? Can I do that? But if you're not complete on the inside, if you're doing that so somebody validates you, so that somebody makes you feel important, or so that they become your friend, then you're not really serving them. You're really serving yourself. Does that make sense? You're helping them so that they will make you feel important, or so they will bring you into their inner circle. But real servanthood is here saying, I serve you for him and for you, not for me. Which means if you never tell me thank you, I'm not offended because I didn't do it for that. If you ever notice me and make me feel important, I didn't do it for that because I didn't have it. I'm already important. I'm important because I'm part of the body of Christ. I'm important because I'm the temple of the living God. I'm important because he says I'm important. I know who I am. I know where I'm going. And so I don't serve because of some deficiency in my life. I serve because I know who I am, which again goes back to I know I have authority. I know I have dominion. I know I have power. See, that's why it's important that we as a church also have that idea that we are valuable to this earth, because that's why we go serve it. Because what we serve the earth, they need. What we do to help, they need. We really are that city on a hill, the light, the salt. You understand what I'm saying? You're not deficient going to serve the world. You are full. You are powerful. You have answers. You have authority. And they need you to let it out. How do we let it out? Through helping. Sometimes they need a word of truth. Sometimes they need a helping hand. But we bring what we are, not what we're not. We bring what we are. Peter said, silver and gold have I not. That which I have, I give to you. You see, and then he prayed for the sick guy or the lame guy, and he got up and ran. And that's what I'm trying to say. You don't have to be insecure. You don't get involved in serving so that somebody makes you feel important. You get involved in serving because you really want to get a part of the vision, because you want to be a part of the solution, because you know the gifts and the talents and the energy and the ideas that God's put into your life, and you can make this thing better. Does that make sense? Good. And so Jesus moves on and he begins to say, do you know what I've done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, for I am. And then if I, the Lord, your teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet, which goes back to what I was saying. There's something in the Bible that talks specifically about Christians helping other Christians, serving one another. Yes, we're to serve hurting humanity. Yes, we're supposed to be good at taking care of this world. But the Bible clearly many times says, let's help those who are of the household of faith too. Let's be really good at this. And one of the reasons I think it's huge that we reteach this a lot and remind each other of taking care of each other and serving each other, not to make them your friend, but because you just love them and you want to help them, not because of insecurity, but because of confidence to help make their life better, is because too many times, because the church has lost some of this stuff, people come into church and they say, my friends in the world were better than my friends in church. Or people in the world are more helpful and more involved in helping me win than people in church. And that can't be that way. And that's what Jesus was repeating here, saying, guys, we have to be really good at taking care of each other, better than the world could ever do, better than the lost could ever do. And we have to be able to do it long term, not just to get them saved. Or it's like, sometimes we've been taught, let's be friendly to people and get them into church and get them saved. And then woohoo, it's over. You're on your own, kid. And it's not the way it works. This is about real relationships and real long-lasting helping and making it work and doing this together. And, this is who we are. This servanthood is beautiful. It's part of what's in the house of God. It's something we prioritize. How can I help you? But of course, yes, all of us have needs. All of us have things going on. So if we wait for all those needs to be gone before we help each other, we'll never help anybody. The truth is God's helping us. And he's not only are we helping somebody else, the Bible says you reap what you sow. And so I'm helping you, and guess what? God's bringing someone to help you too. But when you sit there and you just let yourself get locked up in your deficiency or locked up in your crisis or your need, and you're like, well, I used to serve, but now I have these issues in my life, or someday I'll get on with serving when these issues are gone, then you're never going to get serving, and you're never going to get in that stuff, the kingdom advancement stuff. And that's important. You have to be serving. It's part of who we are. It's part of our culture. It's part of our DNA. And so Jesus says, I am teacher, I am Lord, you're right. If I then, the Lord, your teacher, have washed your feet, you also then go wash one another's feet. For I've given you an example. You know, when I was a kid, we used to do foot washing ceremonies in church. Anyone ever remember a foot washing ceremony in church? It was like this big spiritual thing where we'd come together and we're like, Jesus taught us to wash each other's feet. And so we'd have this bucket of water and people would come up and get, it's disgusting if you think about it. Come up and get their feet washed over and over and over again. And it's just, ugh, But Jesus wasn't talking about creating another tradition or ceremony when he said, if I washed your feet, you go wash each other's feet. It wasn't like, okay, I washed your feet, I did my job. It's about someone should have washed their feet when they came into dinner that night. Nobody did it. And so Jesus said, I'm going to do it. And so today, washing feet isn't coming down and washing somebody's feet. It's picking up where someone isn't picking up. It's getting involved where someone else isn't getting involved. It's doing something that other people forgot to do because it still needed to be done. Are you understanding how that works? But I want you to see the beauty of this too. I'm going to mess up this blanket that Maria was so passionate about. The Bible says here that Jesus, after supper, he took off his outer cloak and that he then took a towel and he wrapped it around himself and then he kneeled at the disciples' feet. I don't know how to adequately put this picture in your mind, but Jesus isn't just the guy. He's not a prophet or a teacher, just a prophet or a teacher. He says, you call me teacher and you call me Lord. Jesus is God, everybody. It's God. Okay? God in the flesh. And just like I said, the Holy Spirit is called the Helper. I want you to see. Look at the posture of our God. We always see ourselves kneeling at His feet. And in this moment, our God is kneeling at the feet of humanity saying, I'm here to help you. I'm here to serve you. This is Christianity right here. It's not standing on a microphone. It's not all this. Jesus had the biggest titles. Jesus had the biggest authority. Jesus is the biggest influencer. But this is where the rubber meets the road. What can I do to help wash the dirt off of your feet? Because when you walk through this life, you pick up a lot of dirt. What can I do to help you win? What can I do to help you further your journey? Other people have forgotten to do it, but I'm not going to forget. I'm here to help meet that need. Because I connect it, not just to meeting the need, but I know in meeting that need, I'm going to further you in your journey and help you win and succeed. Our God took this posture. Our God! What religion has a God that kneels at the feet of His people to serve them? That sounds like heresy. But that's what happened there, everybody. Which tells me it doesn't matter how important we think we are. We say, well, I'm a business owner. I'm a millionaire. I make all kinds of money. I have people work for me. Jesus is way more important than you, and He still took this posture. Doesn't matter how rich or how successful. This is our posture. How can I help you? And if you're in the ministry, it doesn't matter how big your platform or how famous you become or how wide your name gets known, this is your platform. If you don't see your platform as serving people, then you don't need to be on that platform because that's not Christianity. Christianity is serving people. So foot washing ceremonies mean nothing. You can go out with clean feet and a stinky life. Foot washing ceremonies mean nothing. It was the principle behind it, everybody. It was something needs to get done. I'm God. I'm going to show you that. I'm going to be the first one to say, I'll do it. I'll get it done. Because I know it needs to be done to further your life and to make your life better and increase you. The Bible says no greater love than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. And that's what we do. And there's people in this house that do it every week. And I'm just going to take some liberty here as I close and just share a few wonderful thank yous. I was grateful this week thinking about servanthood. Obviously, I'm studying servanthood. I'm thinking about the church and people that are involved. And there's no way I could say everybody's name who's served in some capacity here in the church. Because these churches, these life churches, are filled with servants. They're filled with servants. Matter of fact, if you've ever served in any capacity in Life Church, harvest festivals, Easter extravaganzas, nurseries, media, if you've ever served in any capacity, would you please raise your hand right now? Look at this. Look at that. Look at all these people that have served in some capacity. Give yourselves a hand. Amen. Just say, yeah, that's good. Thank you all for everything you've ever done that nobody may ever see or say thank you, but thank you. See, the church is built on servanthood. Remember when Jesus said, I'm going to build my church and the gates of hell won't prevail against it? Do you understand that in Him building His church, He needs all of us and all of our gifts and talents to build that church? It's not just one gift. It's not the speaking gift. If you ever get more than three people in a church, you're going to need logistics. You need other helpers. You need people writing letters. You need people making phone calls. You need people raising up children. You need people helping with the facilities. You need building the church. You see, it's all connected. I just want you to see. It's not like just meet a need. It's all building the church. Yes, they love those UPS commercials about logistics where it's like, okay, you put a package in the mail and then someone's got to pick it up and someone brings it to the truck station. The truck station brings it to the airport. The airport flies it to where it needs to go. Another guy picks it up and brings it to the mailbox. And it's like, it's all connected. All of us, everything you've ever done to volunteer is all connected. It's all servanthood and it's all Jesus building His church that the gates of hell won't prevail against it. This week, I was so blessed when I went to the Awanas program on Wednesday night. And I saw, they have almost 100 kids in that program. And I saw so many parents volunteering in that ministry. I was so blessed to see moms and dads. There were men in there as well, giving their time, sitting with the kids, and they were teaching them scripture, and they were teaching them songs, and they were doing Bible stories with them, and doing games with them, and they're serving. You see how it all works together? Here's the thing. If they don't do that, then the future of the church is in jeopardy, because they're raising up the future church. See, it's not just what I do. It's what those volunteers are doing alongside of what I'm doing, and the gates of hell aren't going to prevail against it. Amen. It's all of us working together. You know, I should have said this in the beginning. At the end of the service, in the lobby, there's all kinds of tables that you can look at, places to volunteer. I encourage you to do so. Many of you are already volunteering, but it's out there, and you can look at it and see if you want to join up and help us with some stuff. But I was so blessed by those Awana leaders because they're helping all of us. They're helping you, and they're serving you, and you might not even realize it. They're helping you raise your kid in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. They're helping you put your kid's feet on straight paths so when they're older, they won't depart from it. They're helping you so that your kid doesn't have a squirrely teenage years and college years and do all kinds of stuff that damages their life and causes you great emotion and them great pain. Look at what the servants are doing to help you win and help your kid win. See, that's what I'm saying. It's not just, oh, they're just babysitting kids. No! They're furthering the kingdom. You got to connect the dots. You know, I look at our media teams, and in this generation, everything plugs in. And if they unplug, we unplug. And we have churches that are dependent upon their cameras and churches that are dependent upon the sound systems and dependent upon those guys in the switcher room back there. There's guys back there, a guy by the name of Jonathan, that you probably will never even know his name, and he's probably mad I'm even saying his name right now. But he's back there and he's served, he's built our websites, he's done all of our podcasts, our social media, hours of labor. And no one even knows his name, but he's communicated to thousands to make sure they know what's going on around here. That's awesome. And not only that, his wife brings cookies. Ninja cookies, everybody. Ninja gingerbread cookies. She's got them, you just ask her about them. They're awesome. This guy's by the name of Gary, who runs cameras. Fills in all the time. Someone can't make it. I'll do it. If those cameras shut off, Rockford doesn't have a church service. Or Geneseo doesn't have a church service. I mean, praise God, Pastor Ben could jump up, but he'd be nervous. He'd be like, okay, I guess I'm preaching today. You see what I'm saying? We're all connected. I love the ministries around here. We have people in our nursery. There's a lady by the name of Hannah. You probably have never met her. Maybe you have. I don't know. Hannah has been serving in our nursery for 10 years. She's been with us when we were in the gym, and it was chaos in the gym. Back across, some of you didn't even know, we used to have church in the elementary school across the street. And we had our children's ministry in this gymnasium, and there was no walls. And so they were trying to have orderly kids' development, and they used curtains to separate. Imagine trying to keep a two-year-old out of a three-year-old room with just a curtain. I mean, the kids are like running in between classes, like this is a game, and the teachers are like, ah. And yet Hannah stayed with us. And she prayed in walls into the kids' ministry. And today we have a nice sectioned off tots life. Hannah's been there for 10 years. Some of the kids that she's dealing with back then, they're driving or graduating high school now. And she's been for 10 years, a decade, praying over your children, imparting into their lives. Joe and Mary, also praying into your children. Bob and Kathy. There's so many people I could name, and if I don't name your name, please forgive me, but I'm just saying, I just think of people off the top of my head that for years have served, ministered to our children to make sure that they know who Jesus is and know how to do this thing. Thank God for those people. Amen? I love it. I love talking about some of the people that God has blessed us with. You know, we have people that run classes for us and teach in volunteer levels. We have intercessors that come in here, like I said, and they pray for you before the campus ever comes. Your worship team comes. You know, your worship team comes in and they start practicing at 1 o'clock on a Saturday. And they practice from 1 o'clock, plus they're practicing throughout the week, getting the songs together. They go from 1 o'clock to like 3 o'clock, take a quick break, come back, do Saturday night church, leave, come back, do 2 Sunday morning services. That's hours and hours and hours of their time so that you can be pulled out of depression, so that you can be pulled out of fear and grief, so that you can have faith imparted into your life. They are serving you on a consistent weekly basis. I thank God for the servants that are in this place. Your prayer teams, your prophetic teams, your healing teams. They live a life of purity. They train and they pray and they live holy and pure so they can lay hands on you and believe God for you and step into your hospital room or step into your house. And they have businesses. They have families of their own. And they lay down their own time and their own sacrifice and energy to help you win and move on in your life. It's awesome what the kingdom of God looks like. Amen? Amen. It's beautiful. It's vintage. It's the way God intended it to be. It's what Jesus built this thing on. We are here to serve. We're here to help you. And so I just, again, I could go on and on about different people. There's a lady out in Geneseo. Her name is Judy. Judy's a widow. And in Geneseo, which is one of our churches, whenever they have a meal, Judy takes of her money and she makes sure that she provides a beautiful part of that meal for everybody. And so that she is serving the Geneseo church by making sure they have a beautiful luncheon or dinner. It's her ministry. And it's ladies like Judy that make the church the church. I love the ladies. You know, one last group. I mean, there's so many, but the one last group that came to mind this week was on Friday mornings. There's this group of retired individuals and widows that come together that fold your bulletins. And they come into the offices, and they are some of the rowdiest people. They are just this wild bunch of people that come, and as long as we keep the coffee flowing, I mean, they're doing great. And they're folding those bulletins, and they're enjoying themselves, and they're praying for the next service, and there's such an energy and a joy about what they're doing. But there's all kinds of names. There's Mary, and there's Irene, and there's Nina, and Linda, and Gail, and Cindy, and Lila, and June, and Margie Lee, and there's all these people that you may never know who they are, but Jesus knows who they are, and they know that what they're doing is important, because putting a bulletin in your hand is giving you information so that you know where you can get involved and you can grow. See, that's the value. It's not I'm folding pieces of paper. It's I'm helping people get connected to the church that they love and that they're a part of. They're serving you. It's not just meeting a need. It's helping you further your journey. Are you seeing how all that works together? I mean, even our food pantry. Today we're doing this great thing with the food pantry, or not food pantry, but the needs and all this stuff. We have people who, in the food pantry ministry, every week, they're preparing the food pantry, they're buying food, using their own vehicle to go pick up the food and drive and put it all together so that it's all there. That's church. That's beautiful. That's what we will always honor and value in this place. Amen? Go ahead and stand up. Let's close in a word of prayer. Did you get anything out of that today? Amen. I just want us always to be a servant-hearted church, because it just loses something. When we become entertainment, you know, entertainment comes to say, I want to impress you. Come look at me. I want to impress you. But servanthood says, how can I help you? Servanthood says, what can I do to help make your life better? I never want to be an entertainment church. Come look at us. We're so fancy. We're so cool. We're so fun. We are put in this earth to help the world and to help each other. And may we all get involved in helping make the church succeed, that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. As people get involved in the youth, they get involved in worship, they get involved in maintenance, making sure the facilities keep standing and look presentable. I mean, everything's connected, man. Our cleaning teams, once you get me started, I can't stop, okay? Our cleaning teams, they have a vision to make sure our house always looks presentable, so that when people come in, they know that people here care about what they're doing. It's not a sloppy place. It's not a messy place. It's clean, and it's a ministry to make sure it's prepped and ready so that you can come and get blessed. It's awesome, man. All this works together. Let me pray into our lives. Heavenly Father, right now in Jesus' name, I thank you for servanthood. I thank you for Life Church. I thank you that it's in our DNA to serve and to give, to be helpers. And Lord, there's been people in this room that have helped for years, unsung heroes. And Lord, I pray today a special blessing upon them. Today I pray that you would just help them see that what they've done has made a difference and how it connects into the vision of the whole. We're so grateful for them. And Lord, I pray you'd give them fresh energy to continue their wonderful ministry of servanthood for future generations. Father, there's some of us in the room that maybe we've not gotten involved, or maybe we've allowed ourselves to be just full of our own need, and we've forgotten about the key core root here of Christianity, and that's being a servant to help other people. We've been caught up with our own issues. We've been caught up with our own poverty, with our own sickness, with our own failures and depression. And we keep saying, one day when all of it goes away, I'll start helping people again. Father, help us get back to real Christianity and start helping people, to move past our own need and start taking care of the needs of other people. So Lord, I bless Life Church that in our core, in our root, who we are, we will always be ready and faithful to serve. Faithful in the little. And then God, we know you trust us with other things after that. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Before I dismiss you, Jesus is still serving. One of the ways he's still serving is washing our sins away. He's serving you because you're separated from God and he wants to get you reconnected. The Bible says that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That the wages and penalty of that sin is death. separation from God, hell. The gift of God being served to you right now is eternal life. The Bible says all who will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. And so today, the Lord wants to serve you again. He wants to wash the dirt off your feet. He wants to wash you from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. He wants to cleanse you and make you right. Today, I'm not going to call you to the front. I'm going to pray for you right where you are. But if today you're out of relationship with Jesus for any reason, please, everyone, bow your heads and close your eyes. I want to give you an opportunity to get right with Him. Jesus wants to serve you right now. If you're out of relationship with Him for any reason, you say, I've never given my heart to the Lord, or maybe I did, I walked away. I used to love Jesus, but I walked away, and I want to come back. Would you please let Jesus serve you this morning? If that's you today, you say, Pastor Kevin, would you pray for me? Right there at your seat, would you pray for me? Would you please just slip up a hand right where you are, and I would be glad to pray for you today. Pastor Kevin, there's a hand in the back. Thank you. Pray for me. There's another hand over there and another hand there. Awesome. Another hand over there. Anybody else? Pray for me. Pray for me, Pastor Kevin. I want to get right with God today. Let Jesus serve you. Anybody else? There's another hand right there. Two more hands up here in the front. Anybody else today? Just put your hand up. Another hand in the back. Awesome. Awesome. The Lord wants to serve you. Another hand in the middle. Awesome. There's another hand in the middle. Wonderful. The Lord wants to serve you today by making you clean, giving you a new start. Anybody else? He's not judging you or condemning you. There's another hand there. He's here to make you right. There's another hand over there. Awesome. In the front. Wow, I ran out of fingers. Praise God. Lots of people today. Everybody, let's all pray together. Would you please? Pray a simple prayer after us. Dear God, I thank you that you see me just as I am. I know I've sinned and I've walked away from you. I believe Jesus died for me and that he rose again. Please forgive me of my sins. Wash me. Cleanse me. Make me new. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Take every part of me now. Be my God. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Can we give God a marvelous celebration for that? Amen. Can I get my prayer teams to come forward? Get my prayer teams to come forward. They're here to pray for you. They've been getting ready to pray for you all week long. We're excited about that. If you need a healing, if you need a breakthrough, if you need God to do something in your life, they're here. Today, if you raised your hand to give your heart to the Lord, right behind our video cameras is a New Beginnings area. It's a little kind of coffee table area. We've got great volunteers, again, that are there that would love to give you Bibles or resources to help you in your journey. Again, we just want to help you do this so you're not doing it by yourself. But the altars are also going to be open where you can get all kinds of prayer and ministry after the service. Those of you that came for the Thanksgiving baskets, they're going to be ready for you in the gym after service. And you can take your time and go through some of those volunteer tables in the lobby, see if the Lord would have you do anything with any of those areas. Father, right now in Jesus' name, I bless Life Church as they go. I pray, God, if they've been serving, that you would increase their vision and see how what they're doing is making such an impact. Lord, for some of us, there's places in the world that we can pick up things. Lord, I pray that you give us vision in the world around us of where we can serve and make a bigger impact and a bigger difference. Lord, I thank you that out today goes the army of God who is serving this world in the name of Jesus and making things right and setting people free. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you as you go.